Blazor for Web Forms Developers. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening out there. How's it going out there, chat room? My name is Jeff Fritz. Welcome to .NET Conf Focus on Blazor. Get in a little bit closer. We're going to break that fourth wall here. We're going to have a great time today writing a ton of code for Web Forms Developers. Where it's like a Back to the Future thing, right? Except we're not going all the way back to 1955. We're going back to 2002 or something like that, right? ASPX makes a comeback. We're going to talk about controls. We're going to talk about ASPX pages. We're going to talk about postback, view state. Yeah, that's a thing. So I've got my favorite jacket with me here, and I think I make this look good. I think we're gonna get in here. Let's talk about Blazor, and I want to specifically talk to you folks about those folks who are Web Forms developers. I want to make sure that those are the folks who are stepping to the front here. So if you're watching this on the recording, slow down. Get ready to ask some questions. We're going to answer your comments in the area below the recording here. If you're watching us on Twitch, I'm watching the chat room over here. Let me know. Give me a one there in the chat room. Let me know that you're still out there watching, because we're going to have some fun talking about web forms now for you Blazor developers, soon to be Blazor developers. So let's talk about Blazor again. Make sure that we recap, go back to the beginning that we talked about with Dan at the very beginning of the day today, and let's talk about Blazor and how this works again. Of course, you have a browser and you're connecting to some sort of a service out there in the cloud, right? And we hope you're using a very blue cloud. But you're going to connect out to that service, and that service for web forms, folks, is running .NET. You've got ASP.NET out there, and we know that we're rendering and delivering content there. Now, you may have some JavaScript that runs in the browser with one of your favorite frameworks. It might be Angular, it might be Vue, it might be React. But that flavor of JavaScript that you have out there is making connections and doing those requests back and forth to the server to get new content to paint on the screen. And we think there's a better way to do this for those folks who enjoy and prefer to use C# and .NET. And that, of course, is Blazor, why we're here today. So to make sure that you web forms developers know what Blazor is that client-side web UI that you can use with .NET instead of JavaScript. You can write reusable web components using C# and Razor. And you can then share your .NET code with both client and server implementations of your user interface. This is important. The ability to share that code gives you an opportunity to take your web forms and do something a little bit more. Get the migration pattern that we want there that is going to give you some flexibility going forward. Also with Blazor, you can call into JavaScript libraries and browser APIs as needed. That's pretty big. Typically with web forms, right, we emit some code. We emit some markup that will call JavaScript that is already written and built for the browser. But you can call that directly now from your .NET code. You can learn more at blazor.net, or you can keep watching this video here with me. So I hope you stay tuned. So why would you choose to run Blazor on the client or Blazor on the server? This is a question that we get a lot. Certainly, those of you out there watching on Twitch, I know you've seen this question come up a couple times during one of my streams over on Twitch. When you run Blazor with WebAssembly, of course, you have Razor components in .NET that compile together and sit on top of WebAssembly, and that's what we call Blazor, and it interacts with that HTML DOM in the browser. That's pretty good. That's pretty next generation. That's really 2020 that we have there. But when we run on the server, and this is the part that I think is compelling for web forms developers, you're going to take those same Razor components, run them on top of .NET, in this case .NET Core, on the server, and we're going to send changes back and forth to the document object model that's in the browser. We used to do this with web forms. In fact, we had those AJAX panels. Do you remember the AJAX panels, friends? Where you had some code that sat in a square, and when you had a postback that happened with that component inside that square of functionality on the screen, well, you got just that area refreshing. It built the XML and made that exchange for you. We're going to do that for you instead using SignalR. So you don't have to think about it, just like you didn't have to plan or arrange or make that AJAX connection work. SignalR will do the same thing for you. Of course, Blazor WebAssembly is in preview. We've been talking about that a lot throughout the day today. That we expect to ship in May 2020. And Blazor server-side shipped as part of .NET Core 3, and it is part of the long-term servicing release in .NET Core 3.1. So that's dependable, and you will get support for that. Why would you choose one versus the other? We know a little bit about the technology of those two architectures. Blazor for WebAssembly is great for offline support or progressive web applications. You have folks that might be going out into the field and they're going to download that application and run it locally on their device, whether it's a tablet or a phone or some other mobile device. You're going to have great low latency user interface when they use Blazor with WebAssembly. And you can serve it as a static website. Just like we heard in our previous session, you can push all of those DLLs that you're going to serve out to a static location and let that be delivered to a device and achieve that progressive web app type of experience. Now, server-side, Blazor server, where we want to have our web forms folks start to think, well, that's great when you have a thin client. You want that browser that doesn't have a lot of content downloaded to it, and you're going to send just the changes that happen down to that. You want to have a full .NET runtime available to you, in this case, .NET Core, running on a server that could be in the cloud, in your own data center, and all of your code then is going to run on the server. That's pretty big if you start thinking about things around security, okay? And you want to have validated systems. You're going to have that flexibility when you use Blazor server side. How's it going there, chat room? I haven't seen too many messages come by. Are you still with me here? Let me know out there. I can see the folks hanging out in Twitch. If you're over there on YouTube, let me know what's going on over there. We want to get your questions by the end of this session. I've got all kinds of answers for you if you want to know more about how to use web forms with Blazor. So make sure you send us your tweets, send us your messages in the Twitch and YouTube chat rooms. All right, so that's a little bit about the two different architectures here, but they're actually more similar than you might think. Look at that, it's right there. So web forms, of course, we've been doing this for how many years? We've got your applications configured in that global ASAX file. Oh my gosh, how many times have you been in that global ASAX file and looked at the application events configuring your application? You built pages and controls, your ASPX pages, your ASCX pages that were out there that interacted to present your user interface. You built raw HTML mixed with these special controls that were rendered for you, and you didn't know too much about how they behaved. Rendered content on the server, and you would execute and interact with JavaScript in the browser, right? So that's pretty good. We understand all that functions. But what about Blazor server side? Well, check this out. Very similarly, we're going to configure an application in now a startup CS file. So we have similar application startup events that we can handle and configure. And in our first demo, you're going to see just how similar they are. Instead of building pages and controls, you're going to build components that can be compiled and listen on a route, much like a page, or consumed like a control. So a lot of flexibility there in what we can do with a component. Instead of building with raw HTML mixed with controls, well, you build with Razor templates mixed with components. And those Razor templates we've been doing since MVC. Well, we know how to use Razor. That's pretty good for us to move on with. You're going to continue to render content on the server, and now instead of just generating some text that executes as JavaScript, you can actually call directly into and interoperate with JavaScript. Now, it's interesting, I'm saying not just call into, but interoperate, right? You can execute JavaScript, and you can have your JavaScript execute your .NET code. Interesting. We've seen some of that in earlier sessions today. I want to make sure you go back and check those out. Now, the differences. What do I need to know as a web forms developer that's going to change for me when I get to server-side Blazor? Well, in web forms, I've got those ASPX files with the bsting notation, right? I've got the less than percent, percent greater than notation, where all my C# or VB code executes. I've got view state, I've got postback. Those are Those are things that I know how to manage. I know how to interact with. And I've also got master pages. I can execute in .NET Framework 1.0 all the way up to 4.8, right? I've got libraries that are written that target .NET Framework that I can use in web forms, and it runs on IIS on Windows. I've got one place to think about deploying. It's Windows. I'm running on Windows Server, and everything is good. It's a very fixed target that I'm going after. But when I'm running Blazor server side, well, I've got Razor files with that at notation, right? I'm going to wrap my C# code with the at notation that I'm used to seeing with Razor. All of my state is managed on the server. There is no view state that I'm passing back and forth to the client. That's important because we know that view state created some problems for folks who were developing their web forms applications back in the day. Our state, okay, it's managed on the server, but now we also get to send those changes back and forth using what we call the SignalR channel. And we heard a bit about how SignalR is used for that from our friend Ryan Novak in the earlier session today. So SignalR now is a better vehicle than that HTTP XML request that we used way back with web forms. We also now run on top of .NET Core 3.0 and later, 3.1, and we do know that it's going to be part of .NET 5. Components for Blazor are written using .NET Standard 2.0 and 2.1. So we can use all the latest versions of and features of C# that are now available to us. And of course, because Blazor server-side runs on top of .NET Core, that means I can take my content and I can put it on Windows, Mac, Linux. I can put it in containers, run it with my favorite orchestrator, and get a lot of flexibility there in how I build and deploy my applications. So a lot of positives, a lot of negatives that we can see here, changes that you might need to make in order to move back and forth between the two technologies. Let's actually take a look at our first set of demos here. I want to compare web forms to Blazor and show you what a migration application that we started putting together for a little bit of documentation, what it looks like to have that initial web forms application and what the eventual Blazor application looks like and where things change, where things are similar. So I'm going to go over to Visual Studio here and we're going to take a look at this first sample called eShop on Blazor. So I'm going to escape out of PowerPoint here and get over to, this is not the GitHub repository I wanted to show you. Here it is. This is on my GitHub. This is github.com/C#Fritz/eShop on Blazor. The demos that I'm going to show you today as far as comparing and migrating from web forms to Blazor are based on this repository, which is based on forked from another repository that is actually part of a book that we're writing. And I'll talk to you more about that when we get to the end of the session and I show you our resources. So inside of here, and this is marked private, I'll make sure I make this public before the end of the session. So inside of this project, I have a eShop Legacy Web Forms project here, and I have an eShop on Blazor project. My eShop Legacy Web Forms project, let me show you the properties on this. This is .NET Framework 4.7.2. It could be .NET Framework 4.8. It could be one of the earlier .NET frameworks down to 4.6.1. We want to make sure that we get our applications as close to the current version of .NET Framework as possible before we start considering any type of change to Blazor or .NET Core. So this is the version that I'm working with here, and you're going to see this is a pretty garden variety application that we're working with here. If I open this up, and I can already see I've got a bunch of ASPX files mixed with, I've got a log4net XML, packages, config, some master files there. And I've got some modules over here that I can see. And of course, I have my global ASAX right here. And when I look at the code inside of that, I've got it set up as a container provider accessor because this application takes advantage of dependency injection with web forms. So I can set up and inject services into my web pages as they're being built. So I have a container, I have database access, I have some configuration information here in my session start. And I have a database configuration here that hits a database context. And that database context is, it's an entity framework database context. Pretty standard look and feel here of how I build and interact with this application. But importantly, in this global ASAX, of course, I have application begin request. When the request starts, set this information, do a little bit of debugging interaction, and prepare for how I'm going to present my page. And when I look at my default ASPX over here, I've got some content that's hosted inside of a layout. I have a list view here that if I have an empty data template, I'm going to output some information that no data was returned. I have a layout template here that has a table layout. And inside that table layout, I have scrolling down here, I have a placeholder, right? We know what ASP placeholder is, and it has some place that I'm going to drop the content for this list view. I have item templates that define here's what each element inside of this collection is going to look like, and I have some data binding here to output what my items need to look like inside of each element of each cell of this table. So, not bad. ASP hyperlinks here. I'm outputting information. It's pretty straightforward what we're trying to accomplish with this. And when I look at how this is similar to Blazor, and I go over to the Blazor version of this application, I have my startup CS. And startup has configure services. I'm configuring my container here. And I can scroll down here and I have configure. This is what happens when a request comes in. We had application begin request, and here's the handling of what happens when the request begins before we hand off to the interaction. Same thing happens here. Here's what I'm going to do to set up that request and pass along control. And set up, there's my logical thread context for my activity ID, my request information that I'm going to paint on the screen. And I've got some other information that I need to configure for routing and for Blazor so I can set up that SignalR interaction here. So we know how some of these things work because it looks and feels and conceptually is similar to what we did with web forms. My index page has a layout as part of this. This Razor template is going to be rendered inside of an outer layout that's already defined for me. As part of, I always get this wrong. Let me make sure I get this right. Nope, it's not AppRaiser. It's IndexRaiser is my page. And is it host? Is that the one I'm thinking of? There it is. So there's my layout where I've got my HTML and body, and here's the app. This is where it's going to render that content and place it inside there, just like I had a master page before. My app is going to render, and I have a main layout, and this is very much the same content as what I had in my master page before up here inside of web forms. So I have a header, a section, and some footer, and this is where I'm going to place my body. Well, site master has, after I get past some of the required web form stuff, I have a header, I have a section, here's my content placeholder where I'm going to place my content, and a footer. So concepts are the same. I just need to know how to pick up and move these into their appropriate places that are going to be painted inside of my web forms. So, conceptually similar. Let me run the application for web forms and show you what it looks like, and we can talk about how we're going to get this to look and feel the same using Blazor. And while this is compiling and starting up there, I'm going to check in with the folks here in the chat room. How are we doing over there, chat room? Let me know. I'm going to refresh and see what's going on over there. Here comes the web page over here. Look at this. I'm double fisting it here, watching what's going on. So I've got a basic grid here for a catalog manager, and this is specifically the web forms version of this. And I'm scrolling down. You can see it's a generic list of here's products that we might be selling from a .NET shop, and I've got links on the side here so I can see some more details about it. And okay, we didn't stretch the image quite right, but I can see information about it and navigate back to the list. It's really your garden variety create, read, update, and delete type of application. I'm searching for products, learning more details about them, updating them, and being able to delete them. And I've got a little pager down here at the bottom I can use to navigate to the next page of content. Not bad. Pretty straightforward. Electric Havoc in the chat room says, we all want jackets. Let me tell you, I'm going to make this sequin jacket a thing, all right? We're all going to have sequin jackets. But in order to be a good Blazor developer, you need to have a good jacket. Am I right, Electric Havoc? Thank you for tuning in. Is that Web Dev Witch says, I seriously need your jacket in your life. I completely agree. Everybody needs a very cool, snappy-looking jacket. So this application, it's simple. This is really the start of this, and this is where we want the conversation to start when we talk about making WebForms applications be convertible, get them into Blazor. So my Blazor code that goes along with this, I've already got laid out here inside of my pages for this, right? I have index, I have create, delete, details, and edit. And if we look at my index page here, I have, here's a table. If I have content coming back inside this model, and we'll see where the model is defined in just a little bit, I'm going to paint my table. And I'm going to output some data inside of this tbody element. Here's my pager, and it's all written by hand, right? If you're familiar with MVC and really generating your HTML by hand, this might feel comfortable to you. To other folks that are WebForms developers who enjoy the component, the control-driven experience, this isn't the best of experience, and I think there's something we can do for you. Looking down here, we have a code block, and certainly we can intertwine some of our C# code, some of our VB code in our ASPX files, in our ASCX files with our markup, and that's what we've done here. We can do that in Blazor. I have code wrapped in this code block, and when the page loads, right, so I have on parameter set, I'm handling that event. When the parameters on this page are defined and set for me, I'm going to load the page, and I'm going to call into a catalog service, get those catalog items, create a paginated list that we can paint on the screen. And that's my model that I'm going to scroll back up. And if I have content, I want to put a for loop in here to actually paint that content on the screen. Not bad. That gets me somewhere. And it does by hand a lot of what's going on over here inside of my default page where I've got a list view that takes care of this for me. It knows how to format and present and manage all of that. Let me go back over to the slides now, and I want to talk a little bit about what it means to be ready for Blazor. Because I've talked a bit about the differences, I've talked a bit about the similarities and how this demo works, but I want to make sure that you know there are some concerns you're going to have with the architecture of your application when you want to start considering getting it updated, migrated to Blazor. And I'm using the term migrate. It really is a bit of a rewrite that you need to be aware of and you need to be able to handle here. So C# runs in Blazor. It runs in Razor templates. So you need to make sure you have good C# that will execute in those templates. If you have Visual Basic, you're going to need to make a conversion process in there. .NET Standard very much is a thing that we can use here inside of Blazor. If you already have class libraries or references that are outside of your application that are in .NET Framework, you're going to want to get them into .NET Standard. But as we're going to see in our next demo, that's a very good thing to get them into .NET Standard. And if you have third-party control libraries from some of our vendor friends out there, DevExpress we heard about earlier today, Infragistics, Telerik Progress, you're going to have to make some changes there, some adjustments in order to get into some Blazor components as well. There are some code concerns that you're going to have to address additionally. HTTP context and referencing HTTP context.current behaves significantly differently when we get to .NET Core. You don't necessarily have the same objects. HTTP request is a lot different. Query string on HTTP request isn't a thing anymore. So those references are going to break. The data binding with the eval notation, that's not a thing in Blazor or Razor templates. So we're going to have to make some conversions there to handle that. Find control, if you went through some of your composite controls so you could find tags, so you could find elements and interact with those before they were painted on the screen, it's going to be a little bit trickier to do that, and you can't use find control to walk that control hierarchy. Now, page events, the page events that we know and love from web forms, and of course I'm talking about on init, on load, on pre-render, on unload, those don't exist. We have a different page event model that we can lean into a little bit here, but you're going to have to step away from those. And the closer you can get to model binding inside of your web forms, pages, and controls, you're going to have a little bit more success when you get over to Blazor. So let me move forward to my next demo and actually talk about some of those steps to migrating into Blazor. What it looks like to start pulling back and thinking about the changes you need to make to your application so that we can start to shorten that on-ramp, make it easier. We're not going to make it easy. To be clear, this is not easy, but we're going to make it easier. So it's slightly less than really difficult, right? So let's take a look at that. How's it going there, chat room? I want to check in and see what's going on over there. No, I'm not going to be talking about Blazor to mobile. That was earlier today. Thank you, Electric Havoc, for helping out with that. Let me take a look. Surly Dev needs that Blazor. Absolutely. Absolutely. We need to make this a cottage industry, getting Sequin Blazors out there to developers, let me tell you. So let's head over here and talk about what it looks like to start migrating our application. So I'm actually going to change over to a different branch. I'm going to change over to, I believe it's finished demo. There we go. So I will change to that, reload things here in Visual Studio, and I want to talk about first using .NET Standard. .NET Standard, of course, is that contract set of frameworks that we can use that makes our class libraries portable across .NET Framework, Xamarin, and .NET Core. If we take some of our .NET Framework code, push it out into a class library that is .NET Standard compatible, well, now we can start to reuse that business logic in other places. And this is a good separation of logic separation strategy, a good architecture strategy to get that business logic away from your markup, away from your user interface. A lot of folks with web forms fell into that trap of mixing and matching these. So instead of having all of our models in here that were specific to just our business logic, I've moved these out of here into a library here called eShopLib, and you can see it here down the left side. So my catalog brand, my catalog items that I was painting on the screen, here they are. ID, name, description, price, picture name, right? This is all the same thing that I had before that I was painting on the screen, but I have it here in this catalog item. And I have some view models here for that paginated items collection that I'm going to paint on the screen. There's nothing specific to my user interface here, so I moved it out into this project. And of course, I'm going to show you that this project is .NET Standard 2.0, and I've added my component model annotations here so that I can get those annotations that'll help me with a little bit of code generation when I'm using .NET Framework. So I do have this library here, but because I've moved things out into .NET Standard, I can reference it from my .NET Framework project, from my ASP.NET Web Forms project, and continue to work with it. So if I look at, let me show you web config here, and you'll see I've actually added a reference to .NET Standard here, and I've added some namespaces to that eShopLib project. so that I can include and continue to reference objects with the exact same name that I had before in my ASPX code. Moving on, if I go back over to my default ASPX, none of my code changed in here. This is still the same code that looks and feels and data binds to those things. And I could run this and I could show you what it looks like, and that's kind of boring. But I could move over and show you that I have an index.razor file now that is able to bind to a catalog item. And because I can build components, we put together a concept of a list view component that is going to generate my table for me. So I have a table header here that I wrote that's that first row, and my empty data template looks kind of like that empty data template that I had over here inside of web forms. There it is, no data was returned. So that's a start, and right, my table header looks fine, and I've changed things inside of my markup here. Let me just put these two side by side so you can see I have, scrolling down here, right, I'm doing catalog item.name instead of the data binding eval expression over here to get some of this data bound and output inside of my code, my markup that I'm going to generate. Well, that's pretty good. And if I run my Blazor server-side application now, eShop on Blazor, set this as my application that I'm going to start, we'll open that up and we'll run that using Microsoft Edge Canary, because I like to live dangerously. I like to use that latest version of Microsoft Edge. I get the Chrome rendering and everything renders like a standard here for me. And we're going to paint that stuff on the screen. Here we go. And now I'm running Blazor server side, and I've got, well, now I've got something that looks the same. And if I look through, I have pages here for edit and details that look and feel the same as I had before. I changed a little bit of my markup. I moved my business logic out into that shared library, and I'm able to, with a little bit of movement of my HTML, get effectively the same application. That's a pretty good start, but Jeff, you wrote this list view thing over here. Let me show you that real quick. And a list view is just a component, and the component is kind of like an ASCX page. We know what those are, the user controls that I had. I'm outputting a table, and I have my empty data template, I have a table header, and I've got a row template here, and I'm calling this list view, but it doesn't really behave like a list view, does it? Because list view had a layout template, and it wasn't specific to tables here, right? There were other things that we could do. So we're gonna take a look. Maybe there's something we can do to shorten that on-ramp even further. Oh my gosh, do I see a raid there for the Visual Studio channel? Chat room, Twitch chat room, let me know. Is that a raid that I see there? This is not a pre-recorded stream there. Doc is legit. This is the real thing. You're talking to a live stream here. We're live from Redmond. We had some other broadcasts, some other speakers from all over joining us to talk about things that are going on with Blazor. Yeah, I called you out there. That's right. Lana Lux with the raid. Lana, thank you so much for raiding. We really appreciate you sending all folks over here to join us for .NET Conf. Focus on Blazor. So let me move on and show you this idea that we have. This is another experiment that I want to show you. I'm being raided in person now. Our friend Beth Massey has wandered into the studio. I'm afraid. All right, let me show you what I got here. So this idea that we've started talking about here is something that Dan Roth and I talked about on stage at Microsoft Ignite 2019, and it was the idea of Blazor Web Forms components. What if we took components in Blazor and made them look and feel and behave the same way as controls from web forms? So there might be something here to even further shorten that on-ramp if we have the same markup that we can copy and paste from web forms and get it working over in Blazor. So this isn't intended to be something that you're going to use to build a new application. This is intended for those brownfield applications. It's going to be a shim that's going to get you into Blazor and hopefully encourage you to take better steps, better development practices to build your application. So the goal is we want you to be able to copy and paste your markup with minimal changes into a Blazor component, and it just works. Famous last words of every developer, right? Hey, Lana, thank you so much for that raid. Great to see you in the Twitch channel. Really appreciate that. Oh, no. Now, look at this. I'm getting folks just literally an in-person raid is happening here in Channel 9 Studio. Let me get over and show you what this looks like. Let me show you the components. I don't get distracted at all here. Do I? Do I, friends? All right, so let's get over. Let me show you. We have, this is completely an experiment, something we've been doing live on my Twitch stream. You can find this at github.com/fritzandfriends/Blazor webforms components. And we've written a handful of components so far that will get you started with this. And you can see there's some documentation we have here and a couple of the proof of concept controls we've turned into components. And I'm going to specifically show you what we did with that list view and how we've made it better. So I'm going to check out the final branch that I have here to show you called After WebForms Components. And we're going to let this reload on my index razor page. Where'd it go? Index. Come on now. There we go. So now let me put the index next to that default page and let's really take a good look at this because now it's going to start to get really interesting. So here's my web forms on the side here, and take a look. I have ASP list view, right? ID product list, item placeholder ID, blah, 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 right? Let me zoom out just a little bit here so we can see some more code on screen. So scrolling down here, I have list view, and instead of ID product list, I have ref product list, because that's the way we reference components in Blazor. Item placeholder ID, I have run at equals server. That doesn't actually do anything, but shh, don't tell your friends. Item type equals catalog item. That's the same thing I had here, eshop lib catalog item. And I've got one more thing off the end here, context equals item. That's going to help me format how this looks. I have a layout template, just like I had over here, and it's very much the same look and feel, except I took out the carriage returns to make it fit on the screen a little bit better. I have one thing here, context item placeholder, and there's my item placeholder, just like we had ASP placeholder here. It does the same thing. That's where I want to inject my content. I have in my web forms, I have a empty data template, right? And there it is. I've got my TR, no data was returned. And if I scroll down further, my item template looks and feels and actually has the exact same syntax, except it's at signs instead of our data binding here. All I've done is reference these new components that we're talking about, we're experimenting with, and this is when I want to hear back from you, chat room, whether you're on Twitch, whether you're on YouTube. If you're on Twitter, let me know, does this type of thing make sense to you? Is this something that's going to lower the on-ramp and help you consider migrating from web forms to Blazor? And it compiles and runs and looks properly on screen. And I don't have view state. I don't have postback. I'm building and working with components that I know how to use, that renders the same HTML as what I had before, and I know how to work with that. So we think there's an opportunity here, and I want to hear from you. Like I said, Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, let us know whether this is something that you are interested in. Let me go over to the slides and wrap up here. So I covered a lot. There's a lot that happened here, and I want to make sure that you have some steps to go forward. There's an architecture book that we're writing right now. We're hoping to get this finished in the next few weeks. If you go to .NET Microsoft.com/learn/ASP.NET/architecture, there's a book there about Blazor for ASP.NET WebForms developers. It's going to get you started and talk about the differences between the two user interface frameworks. That WebForms components project that you saw, like I said, that's an experiment. You can find that at github.com slash fritzandfriends /BlazorWebForms components. And a big shout out to the folks that have submitted pull requests to help those components. I'm talking, of course, about our friend Blazor, Mr. Magoo, and Kabazi. Thank you so much for your help. My name is Jeff Fritz. You can find me as C-Sharp Fritz out there on Twitter, Twitch, GitHub, YouTube. And if you want to learn more about what we're doing streaming live, more events, more content, just like we're doing here, check me out at live.csharpfritz.com. Whew! That's a .NET Conf. How we doing, Beth? How we doing, Javier?
Jeff, woof.
Yeah.
You actually have questions.
I have questions?
You do have questions on Twitter.
All right, I've been trying to keep an eye on that chat room.
So there's a couple here.
First,
a comment. Really love this comment right here.
Okay, what do we got?
Excellent day of discussion, learned a lot. Where can we see the video if we missed a topic today? I'm gonna let everybody know we will have all of these sessions on demand on the .NET YouTube channel and Channel 9. The crew says 24 to 48 hours because of the snow, okay? So, all right.
But this person
can't stop staring at you.
But also, don't forget, if you've been watching us on YouTube, if you've been watching us on Twitch, you can also click that videos tab and watch the recording that's native on that platform. You're going to see the entire event.
Yes, but we will have them broken up and in the right session format, so you can download each one that you're interested in. That one will take a little bit longer to get chopped up. So yes, you can get the whole stream if you want. Yeah. Rewind it if you want. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this person also can't stop staring at your Blazor. Okay, so I'm thinking this might be something we have to put in the swag store at some
what?
Point because
no.
We should sell this thing, apparently.
No!
They want this thing.
I actually had somebody...
It cannot be copyrighted, apparently.
I had somebody ask if we could raffle this off for a good technical charity, right? Have somebody be able to bid on and get the Blazor. Well, we'll figure that out. I don't know.
All right, for a real question now.
All right, here we go.
Okay, here we go. So how to retain state based on logged in user. So how do you retain the state based on a logged in user like we did for ASP.NET web forms session?
So your user object, just like you had, and we saw a bit of this earlier today in state management. It wasn't Michael Washington talked about it in his security session. We also heard a bit about it from, I forget who had the state session, but we did hear about it earlier today. It's something that is available to you on the server, and it's managed in memory for us with Blazor server side. So you actually don't have to think about it. It's handled for you, and there are ways to scale it. Take a look at some of the other sessions from earlier today. I'm not going to repeat some of the things they said.
Cool. Awesome. All right. Same person has a follow-up question here.
Fantastic.
So how to migrate the session-related code to Blazor?
So session does exist in .NET Core. The tricky thing with using session, though, is... Right, you're going to end up pushing it out of state, you're out of process from whatever web server it is you're using. So you hit that exact same thing. Session is there. It is available to you, but I would avoid it as much as possible. Use cookies. You don't need to put everything in session quite like we did in web forms.
Cool.